Believe in yourself, cause it starts with you, and then everyone else will believe you too. And if it looks like you're the only believer around, just keep on believing, don't put yourself down, just believe.
Our guest tonight grew up on a farm in Edgerton, Minnesota, the 11th of 12 children, and retired in 1983 to a life of fishing, flying, and golfing. After quote-unquote flunking retirement, he founded the Wings of Mercy, which provides free air transportation for people with limited financial means who need treatment at distant medical facilities. They've flown over 3,000 missions in the last 18 years. His name? Peter VandenBosch. And I'm Jack Krasula, and this is Anything Is Possible, presented by Trust in Us on News Talk 760 WJR.
Now back to Anything Is Possible with Jack Krasula on News Talk 760 WJR. Brought to you by Trust in Us, a world-class executive search firm. Now here's Jack.
We're with the founder of Wings of Mercy, the famous Peter VandenBosch. Peter, welcome. It's an honor to have you.
It's an honor to be on your show, sir.
Can we start by talking about your childhood and your parents?
Absolutely. I had a Dutch father and a German mother. They were absolutely wonderful. They had 12 children, and I was number 11 of 12. I have two sisters living now, and all the rest have passed on. And we were born and raised on a farm. I was born in 23, so I do remember a little bit about the terrible thing that happened in 1929. And we had outside toilet, no running water, no electricity. But you know what we had is a deep faith in God. And that's the way we got through, and things began to turn around, and here I am.
What did your mom teach you, Peter, and what did your dad teach you?
My mother taught me to be honest, and here's how she disciplined me. One day, it was about 90 degrees out. The chickens had their tongues hanging out. They needed water. And she was cooking at the stove, my mom, and she says, Peter, will you please go and get water for the chickens so they can be refreshed? And I grumbled or said something to her. She took her apron off and walked out, got the pails, went to the pump, would not let me pump the pump, and filled us with water. Then brought them to the chickens, filled their units there that they had, and then did not scold me, but let me bring back the empty pails. And it was a lesson that I have never, ever, never forgotten. And she was a very devout person, a beautiful woman, and that's what she taught me was honesty. Now, my father taught me a little bit different. He was stern. And when he told you something, he didn't repeat it. You did it, period. And if you didn't, you were chastised. And I don't mean it that bad, but we were. So his word was absolutely the word. Not one of my brothers or sisters ever got in trouble in their lives with drinking or with the police or anything like that. And we credit our dad and mom.
What did growing up on a farm teach you, Peter VandenBosch?
To be dependent on God, work hard, and, what else? Believe. However, one day my sister and I were sitting on a haystack. I was 13 years old, or 12, and a Ford tri-motor airplane flew over. I said to my sister, someday I'm going to be there. And that is the, when I look back in my life, what caused me to tell my father when I was 18 years old that I was not going to stay on the farm. And it broke his heart. And then I came to Grand Rapids to live with my brother. And then the Japanese hit Pearl Harbor, and it changed my life.
You lived through the Depression, and we have challenging times right now. Yes. We're in trials. Talk to us about how we will get through adversity and the resilience that we have within us.
I think we will get through. Now, there's two things. That event in 1929 humbled America. And then we had great leadership and gave us hope, and things began to develop. And then this nation was attacked by Japan. And about 10 days later, by Germany. And we had a nation of people who did not want to get involved in either war. But when that happened, we came together like a miracle. And Tom Brokaw wrote the book, The Greatest Generation. And we absolutely got together and did it. We are at that point now. We must, all of us, we've got to get together. We've got to bury the past, look for the future, and believe in each other, and believe that God will lead us on.
We're talking to Peter VandenBosch, who was in the broadcast business for 35 years. When we come back, we'll ask him about that. I'm Jack Krasula. And this is Anything Is Possible, presented by Trust in Us on News Talk 760 WJR.
You're listening to Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. Brought to you by Trust in Us, a world-class executive search firm. Once again, here's your host, Jack Krasula.
We're with Peter VandenBosch, who was in the broadcast business for 35 years, very successfully. Peter, how did you ever get into that business?
Well, that's interesting. I had a talent of being a music director, a director of choirs. And I founded in Grand Rapids, Michigan, a mail chorus in 1950 called the King's Choraleers Mail Chorus. They are still going today. I directed them for 23 years. But let's go back to 1950. We recorded for radio station WFUR in Grand Rapids one of our concerts. And they played this concert over and over and over, and we got better and better, but they didn't come and record a new program for us. So I went to him, the owner, and said, we'd like to have you record a new one because we're better than the old one that you recorded. Okay, he says, hey, what do you do? I says, I saw Yellow Page advertising for Michigan Bell. How would you like to work for me? I need a sales manager. And I accepted the job. I was there 7.5 years and then became sales manager of Channel 13 Television in Grand Rapids. And I was very happy there and thought I'd be there the rest of my life. When in 1963, the Zondervan Corporation, who owned WJBL AM and FM in Holland, asked me to come over here and gave me an opportunity that I couldn't resist. And I came here and later on bought those stations myself.
What were the keys to being successful in the broadcasting business, Peter?
Oh, that's quite a question. What were the keys? Belief in yourself, belief in myself, know that I could do it. Always, and this is what now, you asked me earlier what I had learned from my dad, never, ever lie. Under any circumstances do you always tell the truth. And that helped me in selling just terrifically. And that, I think, is the greatest thing.
Where did you get your love for flying?
Well, I got my love for flying when I was sitting on a haystack back in Minnesota with my sister, and a Ford tri-motor airplane flew over, and I looked up, and I said, Geneva, someday I'm going to be there. And the Japanese made it happen a little earlier than I planned, and so I enlisted in the Army Air Corps. I was inducted in January of 1943, and was in training to fly. I had already started flying when I developed a skin disease on my right hand. It was very serious. I was taken off flying status and didn't get back on again until 7 months later, and then in my class, there were 179 of us pilots, and the Air Corps said, hey, yeah, we have too many. We don't need that many. So they took 129 out. I was one of the people that got taken out, became a radio operator gunner and on a B-24, and finished up the last 6 months of my service, was in Europe, in Italy. And then the war ended in Japan, and I came back to the States, and I used my GI money, bill money, to get my pilot's license. So I got them in 1947.
Let's go to 1983.
Yes.
And you retire.
Yes, sir.
To a life of fishing, flying, and golfing.
That's exactly right.
Talk to us about that.
Well, I'll back up just a little bit. I had this mail corps, so we did a lot of concerts with that. Then I also developed a choir called the Metropolitan Choir in Grand Rapids, 140 voice group, mixed women and men, completely separate from the other. And music was my life. That was my avocation, and I had done a lot of it, probably 500 concerts in all. Did a lot of recordings and that sort of thing, and then, when I sold my company, I still had some hair, and I went to get my haircut from the barber, and he says, now that you're retired, he says, how about helping me on Wednesday nights when we go to the Allegan County Jail, and we can help these guys out over there? And I turned to him and says, sir, I've done all of that kind of thing I'm going to do in my life. I hurt him. I know I did. Well, we went to Europe for 32 days, and we got a place in Florida, and we had a boat down there and a boat up here and my twin-engine airplane and had a car down there, and we were living the life of Riley. We'd fly to the Bahamas for lunch and that sort of thing and all of that. Well, one day I'm out on my boat. It's in November of 1990 with my favorite fishing crew, 35 miles out southwest of Naples, Florida, in the Gulf. And it was as quiet as a mouse out there. No other boats around. Just the four of us in the boat. And I put my line in. We're fishing for grouper. And I heard a voice, Jack, just as clearly as I hear your voice. It said, Peter, there's more to life than this. I thought, no one of the guys said that. And I looked at him. They didn't. And I thought, what's happening? And my knees start to shake. I didn't tell my wife for 2 weeks. I went for some walks by myself in Naples there and wondered, did you really hear that? And the answer came back to me, not with a voice, but just the knowledge, yes, you did. So I said to my wife, honey, I got to tell you something. I told her this story that I had heard this voice, and she immediately said, we've got to sell out and go home. I said, honey, are you kidding? We got it made down here. She doesn't argue. This gal I'm married to doesn't argue. She makes her point, and that's it. Well, 2 days later, having coffee, said, you really are you really sure of what you said? And she said, yes, I am. We sold out. Came up here in Michigan in February of 1991. I'm sitting around in my office. It's February, it's March, it's April. In May, I get a call from a man in Zeeland, Michigan, which I used to own a Cessna 210 with. Then he quit flying, and I bought it. Now, that was years ago. Well, in May, he calls me. He says, Peter, I've been thinking about you. Why don't you use your airplane? I had a Seneca 2 twin engine. To fly low-income people that need medical treatment in distant places and do it for free. I went downstairs and told my wife, Les Slade just called, and this is what he said. She pointed her finger at me, and she says, there's your call. I went upstairs, and I said, okay, God, just show me the roadmap or something, and I heard nothing, nothing. In June, I went to the Holland Hospital and said to the people there that if you have low-income people that have to go to Mayo Clinic or Cleveland or whatever it is, I'll fly them free. No obligation. I did my first flight on July 9 of 1991. Two young people, one was 18 and one was 21 at that time. They were very short. They had aging disease and cancer. And I took their mother and them with a co-pilot to Mayo Clinic. And Jack, when I got back in my airplane, I knew where God wanted me. I just absolutely knew it. And the newspaper found out about it and so on. And, well, the rest is all history now.
We're talking to Peter VandenBosch. The rest of the history of these last 18 years is over 3,000 such flights. And I'm Jack Krasula, and this is Anything Is Possible, presented by Trust in Us on News Talk 760 WJR.
Welcome back to Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. Presented by Trust in Us, a world-class executive search firm. Now, here's your host, Jack Krasula.
Welcome back. We're with Peter VandenBosch, who by his own admission, quote-unquote, flunked retirement. And we're all the beneficiaries of that. Peter, it's one thing to fly a couple, but what you started, Wings of Mercy, has now flown over 3,000 such flights. You have 60 volunteer pilots. You have several dozen planes. How did you do that?
One by one. Just one by one. I did the first flight and then went to Tulip City Airport director, owner. And I'd like to have some names of pilots that you know that could join me. And I did. He gave me five names. I called them and said, let's have breakfast together. I told him what my dream was. When I finished that, one man, Jay Van Dalen, another Dutchman like me, said, hey, you start this thing, I'll join you. And I started it, and the next call I got was from Russ Heima, automobile dealer in South Haven, and he says, tell me about your outfit. And I did. He says, I'll join. And then the newspaper got a hold of it, the local Holland Sentinel, and wrote, put me on the front page, for goodness sakes. About one-third of the front page was me. And that launched Wings of Mercy. And now, 5 years later, I got a call from a fellow by the name of Cody Welch, in Flint, and he's a captain with Northwest. And that same month, I got a call from a Dr. Van Ostrand in St. Cloud, Minnesota. And those men each started a organization similar to us, in fact, just like us. And all together, we have flown 4,904 flights We expect about in March of 2019, 5,000.
How can we learn more, Peter?
Go to our website. It's a very simple one. www.wingsofmercy.org. O-R-G. That'll give you lots of information. Now, if you want to call, if there are patients, low income, and there's more today than there was yesterday,
yes,
because of the economy, you can call 1-888-786-3729. I'll repeat it. 1-888-786-3729. And you talk to Sharon, and she will help you.
Peter.
Yes, sir.
God's plan for each of our lives is always bigger than our own plan.
Yes, sir.
And you are a shining example of that. What this thing has turned into, you couldn't even conceive. Talk to us about how you surrendered to God and were open to this unbelievable concept.
Oh, what a question. Well, sir, I was humbled so tremendously when this whole thing sunk in. Now, when I heard the voice, I didn't tell anybody, only my wife, the only one for 7 years. My board members didn't know one thing about it, but the pastor of our church called, a new one. He says, I've heard about Wings of Mercy, and I'd like to have meet you. I came to him. He says, I want you to tell our congregations. At that time, we had 1,500 people twice in Sunday mornings. The place was jammed. And then he built a sermon around giving and then introduced me, and that's how that news came out. Now, to give, to really be a giver, the joys of that are just enormous. I'm going to read something right now that I have on my wall here. The heart is happiest when it beats for others. It is this is different. It is an illusion to think that more comfort means more happiness. Happiness comes of the capacity to feel deeply, to enjoy simply, to think freely, to be needed. And then just one more. If a man does not keep pace with his companions, perhaps it's because he hears a different drummer. Let him step to the music which he hears, however measured or far away.
Fantastic. How has this last 18 years changed your life, Peter Vanderbosch?
Brother, let me tell you. Had I stayed in the broadcasting business and sold out, say, 3-4 years ago, I probably could have sold out for about twice as much, at least, than what I sold for. When I look back and say, hey, you know what, I could have millions more than I sold out for, to try to compare that with the joys that I have gotten from this organization, from flying people and from hearing pilots who have joined and flew a patient and said, call me and say, you know what, you've changed my life. That changed my life. And I hear this constantly, all the time. We are called God's special people. You're earth angels. All of that kind of thing, where we have saved people. People write me, especially at Christmas, I'll get something like this. You saved the life of my grandchild. How can I ever repay you? Or my child? Or you gave us hope when there was no hope. And it just goes on and on. We have a board made up of 8 of us. 7 years ago, one of our board members, Rick Seegers from Holland, resigned because his business had grown tremendously. And he said, hey, you've got to get somebody else in here. Upon his resignation, he said this, gentlemen, and it became our benchmark. Keep this thing squeaky clean and never be ashamed of the name of Jesus Christ. And that set a that's it right there. We don't preach to people. We don't hand them tracts. We fly them.
What the people that you've flown, what have those people taught you, Peter?
What have they taught me? The joy of serving others. The joy of serving others. When you give yourself, and this is what I say about our pilots, and I'm going to say it now on WJR. They are among the greatest group of givers I ever experienced in my whole life, including my church, my choirs, anything.
We're with Peter VandenBosch, and I'm Jack Krasula, and this is Anything is Possible, presented by Trust in Us on News Talk 760 WJR.
Trust in Us, a world-class executive search firm, presents Anything is Possible with Jack Krasula on News Talk 760 WJR.
Welcome back. We're with Peter VandenBosch. And in 2007, the National Aeronautics Association awarded him its Outstanding Achievement in Support of Public Benefit Flying Award. Congratulations.
Thank you, sir.
In Southeast Michigan, I think psychologically, a lot of people are depressed right now.
I believe so.
And fear is paralyzing them.
Yes.
How do they get over that, Peter?
If we ever give up hope, we are doomed. We must go back and look at what happened in this nation, when we had the Civil War, 600,000 people killed, and we survived. Then comes the Second World War, and it looked like Japan and Germany were going to take us over. Believe me, I was 18 years old, and I feared that. But we came together. We, the nation, came together, and we didn't give up hope. Now we are in that same deal right there, and we must be willing to help those in need, to love them, and believe in the future.
So many of us are pointing fingers. It's the fat cats, it's the politicians that gave that told the banks to lend the money. It was the bankers that lent the money. It's the union people. We're all pointing the finger, you know, that index finger, and we don't see the three pointing back at us.
Amen.
And you talk about that we've got to come together. How do we come together?
Well, we have to believe. My personal feeling, I'll tell you this. I believe, regardless if you're a Democrat or a Republican, regardless, if you love this nation, you are going to get behind our new president and our Congress, and you are going to believe that we can survive and we must survive. We may have to forestall getting a new this or a new that. So what? And I believe, if we believe, it will happen. I'm so convinced for that. If people want reassurance, get the book by Tom Brokaw, The Greatest Generation. It'll show you something, who we really are. One of the things that we should do, Jack, is this. We should love one another as Christ loves us. That's what we should do. He told us to do that. If you love me, follow me, but love your neighbor as yourself.
You're 85 years old, Peter Van den Bosch. You've got the outlook of a 25-year-old. You got the energy of a 20-year-old.
Yeah, I think my dad and mom made a mistake.
What are you drinking over there in Grand Rapids? How do you do it?
You mean in Holland, Zealand? No. That was something else. My parents, we were allowed to have wine in our home. But you better never be caught in a beer hall or anything like that. You had to do this at home, and we were taught right. Yep.
Periodically, I meet somebody who's heard this voice, and you heard the voice in 1990.
Yes.
What do you say to somebody who says, I pray to God, but God never answers my prayers? He never talks to me.
Well, I have to say that I felt that way myself. I prayed to him, and I would lay my life out to him, and lo and behold, I got blessings that I didn't expect, and leadership that I didn't expect, but I never once, Second World War, choirs, concerts, never did I ever hear this, and I haven't heard it since.
If there's a listener driving tonight, and he was looking toward retirement next year, and he says, forget that, you know, my stock portfolio is kaput.
Oh, yeah.
My house, the value of it has gone way down.
Sure.
One of my sons just lost his job, so now my wife says we got to help support that family. You know, this isn't right. I'm due it. I earned it. I'm entitled to it. What do you say to him?
Oh, boy. My heart goes out to him. We have a son that just lost his job, too. My heart goes out to them. We don't give up hope. If we give up hope, we're doomed. That we must not give. Our nation was founded on God. Yes, it was. He has not left us. He is here. Have we, starting with this Van den Bosch guy, have we done everything right in our lives? No way. But we can change our course. We can set new goals. And we can believe in the future.
This coming Thursday, we celebrate Thanksgiving.
Yes.
Can you share with us a special story for Thanksgiving?
Oh, I can. It was the day before Thanksgiving. This is in 1991 in the fall, just before Thanksgiving Day. I got a call from Muskegon Hospital. I was the flight director and the president and secretary and everything at that time. I just started the organization. And so I accepted this. They said, we have a little girl that has to go to Mayo Clinic immediately. She has a brain tumor, and her parents will be going along. And I accepted and flew to Muskegon, which is north of us here, about 40 miles. And there was this little Megan, about 5 years old, and her grandparents. And the parents. And the grandparents were both weeping, because they thought they would never see her again alive. And I finally had to say, say your goodbyes now. We've got to leave. So I did that, and we were flying across Lake Michigan and then across Wisconsin. And we were at 6,000 feet. That's what we could not go above that, the doctor said. And we were right over the Mississippi River and across Wisconsin. I could see it down there. When the father tapped me on the shoulder and said, her temperature has just gone up to 106. What do we do? No, you must answer that. We can go here to La Crosse, or we can keep on going to Rochester, which is about 11 minutes. They made a decision to go on to Rochester. I contacted Minneapolis Center and said, we've got an emergency. described it to them. They said, stand by. They contacted Rochester and then came back to us and said, go to Rochester frequency. And I did that, and they said, we have stopped all traffic. You can take any runway you want, and we'll have an ambulance meet you on the runway. I said, fine, I'll take 20. And we landed, and as we were landing, I could see the ambulance out there, and the tower said, as soon as you touch down, stop and shut your engines off. And I did, right on the runway. And those people came and got that little girl and had her on life support system before I even was able to get all the luggage out of the airplane. And they left. The next morning, on Thanksgiving Day, the telephone rings, and it's the father. We have witnessed a miracle, a Thanksgiving miracle. Our little girl is playing on the bed. That little girl today is 22 years old. I recently met her. She's graduated from university now. And when I met her in Muskegon at one of our care affairs, fundraisers, she was with her mother. I didn't recognize either one of them, but she put her arms around me and just began to cry. Well, pretty soon, I was crying myself. But that's the story.
Peter, you are a miracle. You're a treasure. You're an angel. And thank heaven you flunked retirement, Peter.
Thank you, Mr. Jack. You're a gentleman.
Thanks. Join us again next Sunday. Until then, I'm Jack Rasula. Thanks for listening. And make it a great week, because with God, anything is possible. And have a great, happy Thanksgiving. Spall.